Jeremiah 16:17. For mine eyes are upon the ways of man, and I see all his steps. Jeremiah 16:17. Acts 15:18. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Acts 15:18. An atheist cannot find God for the same reason that a thief cannot find a policeman. That's not a verse, but that's a good one, isn't it? Would you open your Bibles to James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. You remember that the service this morning, the first session, we dealt with the three so-called friends of Job. We called it Job's friends' lips, not tamed. And so that has led us now to find our comfort zone in the New Testament in James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. We have some magnificent verses here that will deal with the subject that we've analyzed in the past, now dealing again with the tongue, taming the tongue. James chapter 1, 19 and 20. May we pray together first. Father, we're thankful for the opportunity to open our minds and hearts to the Word of God. We realize that we are blessed individuals indeed. You've been so good to us and blessed us in so many ways. And we express our thanks today for the fact that you care for us, love us, blessed us, continue to bless us on a day-by-day basis. Most of all today, we're thankful that we're saved by your grace and that we have this wonderful roadmap, God's Word, to make it possible for us to see from a vertical divine viewpoint. We realize the importance of studying God's Word on a day-by-day basis. That's, again, the reason for our being here today. We pray that you will bless us in these moments of study. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. You will notice on the back of today's bulletin, as always, we have the verses of Scripture from the German translation. James chapter 1, verse 19 from the German translation. You know it, my beloved brethren. Every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Then James chapter 1, verse 20. Then man's scorn doesn't work God's righteousness. You'll see how beautiful this is as we move into our study of these two verses today. James chapter 1, verse 19, from the original language, goes like this. Know, brothers of me, beloved, let every man be swift for to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. I'm aware of the fact that this is my comfort zone, and I don't want to get carried away in my comfort zone, because what we're dealing with here is some beautiful, magnificent verbs found in James chapter 1, verse 19. The first word that you see on the screen is the word know. And you'll notice that I have it up here for you to be able to see the way that that word is used in the original text. It is the Greek word oide. It is a verb in the perfect mood. And so we have the perfect active imperative mood, second person plural of the word oide. I stop for a few moments to remind you that the perfect tense emphasizes something that has taken place in the past, consummated in the past, with the result of that consummation continuing to this present moment. So we find that James is saying, know, brothers of me, my beloved brothers. I will spend the time now on the next part of the verse. Let every individual be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. I notice also that there's another verb, and that is the present active imperative of the word ime, which is a verb of being. Let every individual be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. After the command to know, we have here in this verse of Scripture, swift to hear. Then we have the statement slow to speak, and then now slow to anger. God has given us great challenges in life. The question that we have this morning is, are we perceptive to God, and are we perceptive to the Word of God? Do we use our tongues properly? Then God's Spirit seemingly says in this verse of Scripture, and we need to dwell on it a bit longer, God has given us life, eternal life. Your soul and my soul is saved because we've accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. We've done that. We've been saved by God's grace. And so the question then is our soul full? Are we receptive? Are we perceptive? A receptive heart then, number one, opens the ears. A receptive heart, number two, controls the tongue. And receptive heart, number three, manages, rules, governs, restrains the emotion of anger. That is what is depicted so vividly in these verses of Scripture that we're studying now. Anger is the Greek word orge, and it means to swell, a swelling which will eventually burst, an inner deep feeling that seethes and smolders. When you go to the next verse, which is James 1:20, it says, for the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. And we'll not get into any great detailed description of the original language here, but I want you to see that it says the wrath of man, the anger of man, does not work out the righteousness of God. I've been told that in life, there are ideas that people have. Someone has said that great minds discuss ideas. Average minds discuss events. And small minds discuss people. I want to take a moment for you to take this down because you need to remember it. I don't know who said it, but I think it's right. Great minds discuss ideas. Average minds discuss events. Small minds discuss people. The church that James is writing to was full of small-minded people. And these small-minded people gossiped about each other. They tore one another apart with their tongues. And so we see here in the book of James something that I believe is attached in thinking to the three so-called friends of Job. These are individuals just like they were not able to tame their tongues. We find that James is writing to people who do not have the ability to tame their tongues. The question that I have for you today is, does this characterize our lives? The tongue remains hidden, as far as we are saying, and we mentioned that this morning. The tongue remains hidden for the most part, as long as we keep our mouth shut. But when it does, it makes its presence known, oftentimes in what I call here a devastating way. The tongue can express or repress, release or restrain, enlighten or obscure, adore or abhor, offend or befriend, affirm or alienate, build or belittle, comfort or criticize, delight or destroy, be sincere or sinister. Now, what I want you to see is that I put together some words to let you know how the tongue can be used. The tongue remains hidden for the most part, but when it does make its presence known, it oftentimes comes on with devastating power. The tongue can express or repress, release or restrain, enlighten or obscure, abhor, adore or abhor, offend or befriend, affirm or alienate, build or belittle, comfort or criticize, delight or destroy, be sincere or sinister. And then I read somewhere, and I thought this was unique, the tongue can Xerox the good or X-ray the bad. You may want to write that down somewhere, but I don't know who exactly said it. In the book of James, in verses 3 through 12, James uses six different words, word pictures, of the tongue to help us see how small it is and yet how powerful it is. Now, I want to tell you at the very beginning, I would like to have about an hour at least to preach because I have a tremendous amount of information. I'm in my comfort zone here, but I want you to see that in the verses we have before us, in verses 3 through 12, James uses six word pictures of the tongue to help us see how small the tongue is and yet how powerful it is. One of the words is a bit. Another word is a rudder. Another word is the fire. Another is a dangerous animal. Another is a spring. And the next one is fruit. Now let me quickly carry you through these words. I feel like it's important to see it. The first metaphor is the bit that is put into a horse's mouth by a trainer. This relatively small piece of metal can control a very powerful animal, directing the horse to the right or the left, telling him to stop. When the bit is pulled back, most of us are aware of the fact, when the rider pulls back the bit, it presses against the horse's tongue, causing him to stop. Now, I could go into a long discussion here about my boyhood days on the farm and all of this, Bert and Snip and the bit and all that, but I can't do it because I don't have time to do it. The next word that is used is the word rudder. James also compares the tongue to a rudder on a boat. Just as a small rudder can control the direction of a larger liner, or even as an aircraft carrier, so too the tongue can control our lives. Both the bit and the rudder must overcome contrary forces. The bit controls the wild nature of a horse. The rudder must fight the winds and currents that would drive the ship off course. Both the bit and the rudder must be under the control of a strong hand. Most of us have had the privilege of going on a cruise, and perhaps you've noticed how they manipulate these huge ships around. The story is told, a boy about in high school, he was out water skiing one day with some of his friends. He said, when it was my turn to ski, we circled the lake a couple of times, and then I signaled that I wanted to stop, to quit. My buddy was driving the boat and decided to turn the wheel sharply to give me what is known as a wipeout. As he turned, the boat dipped suddenly to the left, causing him to fall out of his seat. That's the driver of the boat. He said, I hit the water, of course. Then the boat started coming right toward me, full throttle. At the very last second, my sister reached over and turned the wheel, and the boat just missed me by inches. What was intended to be fun almost turned into a disaster. And with just a small turn of the wheel, my life, the young man said, was saved. Friends, our tongues are the same way. They're small, but they have the power to delight or destroy. From our mouths come either words of life or words of death. The third word that is used in the book of James here is fire. After talking about the power of bit in the mouth of a horse and the power of a small rudder to steer a large ship, James uses the image of fire. In James chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, it says, consider what great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. Just a small spark can ignite an entire forest. So we must understand that words, the flow out of our tongues, can corrupt lives and shipwreck families. Words that are unleashed without thought can significantly affect and alter lives. I'm amazed when I come into this book of James. James is pretty strong here as he tells us that our tongues are set on fire by hell itself. I need to give you a little illustration. When I was about 11 or 12 years of age, one night I wanted to impress my cousin as they were coming down that farm road in the night to visit with us. For some reason, my dad had a small little fire burning in our backyard. I saw it dying down. It seemed to me that the sparks were barely shooting up. The logs were just now barely simmering. So, this little boy, me, I thought it would be wonderful if I could get that fire to blaze so that my cousin coming down the country road there would be able to see this huge fire. So I, seeing a small can of gas nearby, came to the quick conclusion that it would be extremely great for me to impress my cousin. By the way, that cousin is Patsy Wasco, Patsy Glass, who's been the wife of the pastor of First Baptist Church of Galveston for some years. But I want to tell you that I was so excited about the possibility of getting some gas, which my dad had nearby, to put on that fire, because I knew what that would do. It would cause it to blaze, and I would, oh, that would be wonderful for me as a little 11 or 12 year old boy to see my cousin be excited that she saw that blaze of fire in our backyard. Well, I want you to know it was something else. A big flame shot up high into the air. Being a brave young man, I threw that gas on that fire. My dad, not being far away, saw what I did. And now I leave the rest of the story to your imagination. Parents really know what is best. Words of parents and manner of life of moms and dads weigh heavily upon children, not only when they're young, but throughout their lifetime. Parents, I speak to you today. If you want heaven's help for your home, you need to realize the potential of your words and the potential your words have for construction or destruction of your children's lives. Your words can bring a form of death to your children. We might not even realize what our words do to our children. When sparks fly in our homes, firestorms, storms can erupt, creating a blazing inferno that leaves deep scars and lasting pain. After Karen Carpenter died of heart failure at the age of 32, brought on by years of fighting and eating disorder, it came out that her fatal obsession with her weight was triggered by a single reviewer's comment. When referring to Karen, this particular man called her Richard's chubby sister. While I'm not sure, but there were other factors attributing to Karen Carpenter's struggles, this one comment unleashed a flurry of self-doubt, which led to her eventual disease and death. We really need to watch our words, don't we? Let me give you a suggestion. When your child does something wrong, instead of saying something like, "You're naughty," or "You're such a brat," why not say something like, "What you did was wrong, and I don't want you to do that again." It's real easy to say things to our kids that are not really true. The tragedy is that they can very easily grow up thinking that they're naughty, or bratty, or chubby, or ugly, or dumb. Are you listening? Try to separate who they are from what they do. Oftentimes, we're to be careful not to be deliberately caustic and destroy people with our words. We really do not look better when we cut others down. Someone said you lose ground when you throw mud, and I believe that's right. Do you remember the saying, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me"? I don't know who came up with that idea, but it's just not true, because words can break our hearts. Broken bones can heal with time, but a broken spirit caused by words of death is not quickly repaired. I think I'm right where we live today, and I wanted you to think with me. Like our actor so wonderfully depicted, words can spread like fire in the families. We all need to ask ourselves a question today. How many people have we maimed or destroyed with our words? Are kids dying a slow death because of lethal lexicon? Is the tongue quick to criticize? Or do our words build up or do they tear down? You'll notice that the fourth word that's used in the book of James is a dangerous animal. As important as it is not to speak death words and to instead speak words of life, we have a problem. When we look at James verses 7 and 8, it says all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, creatures of the sea, are being tamed and have been tamed by man. But no one can tame the tongue. And the scripture goes on to say the tongue is restless evil, full of deadly poison. I can't tame my tongue. You can't tame your tongue. It's amazing when you think about it. Every dangerous animal can eventually be tamed, we're told. Ferocious lions can jump through burning hoops. Grizzly bears can ride on horses. Huge elephants can do handstands. We have a remarkable ability to tame ferocious beasts, but can't get a hold of our tongues. Like snake venom or corrosive rust, our tongues are just looking to strike unsuspecting people. They're active. They never rest. There is no sting of a serpent that does as much damage as a wagging tongue. When you go to James verses 9 and 10, it lays out the dichotomy and hypocritical nature of our tongues. It says, with a tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. We bless God while we blast away at others. There's something wrong with that picture, isn't it? The fifth word that is used here is a spring. James now draws his fifth word picture to help us see that it should be impossible for us to both bless and blast out of the same mouth. In verse 11 of this chapter, it says, can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? Interesting, isn't it? Verse 11. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? The image here is of a fresh flowing stream that has both bitter water and sweet water flowing through it. Natural springs, as we all know, still remain in the Middle East today. Some produce fresh water and some produce salt water. However, none produce both. It's not possible. James is saying here that just as it is impossible for a spring to have both sweet and sour water, so too it is inconceivable for the tongue to send both righteousness and rumors, blessing, blasting, compliments, cursing. You see how I'm trying to tell you that there are words used in the book of James in relationship to taming the tongue. The sixth word is fruit. The final image is that of fruit in verse 12. It says, my brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can salt spring produce fresh water. We expect a fig tree to have figs on it and a grapevine to have grapes. Nature reproduces after its kind. James is calling us to be consistent. What comes out of our mouths is a reflection of what's in our hearts. We're on page 24, and I only have about 35 or 40 pages. But that's where I'm going to stop right now. I trust you're able to see that in the third chapter of the book of James, we have some interesting statements. Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we shall incur a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he's a complete man, able to rattle the whole body as well. In verse 3, now if we put the bits into the horses' mouths so that they may obey us, we direct their entire body as well. Verse 4 of chapter 3, behold, the ships also, though they're so great and are driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder, wherewith the inclination of the pilot desires. James chapter 3, verse 5, so also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. Behold, how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. Verse 6 of the third chapter of James, and the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and set on fire by hell. Verse 7 of chapter 3 of James, for every species of beasts and birds and reptiles and creatures of the sea, tamed and has been tamed by the human race, but no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth, verse 10, come forth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. Verse 11, does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Verse 12, can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or vine produce figs? Neither can salt water produce fresh. Verse 13, who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. Verse 15, this wisdom is not that which comes down from above. It's earthly, it's natural, it's demonic. But where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. Look at verse 17. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy, good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. Verse 18, in the last verse of chapter 3 of the book of James, and the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. What a magnificent chapter that is. I would encourage you to go to chapter 3 of James and read it over slowly and carefully. Analyze it. May we pray together, please. Father, we're thankful today for the challenge of your wonderful word. We understand the importance of taming the tongue. You've given us each one a tongue. You've given us the ability to think. We have the ability to communicate, to allow the words proceed from our lips. Oftentimes those words are not what they should be. Cutting words, hurting words, untruthful words, criticizing words. Father, help us to understand that we're to have words that are gentle and kind and pure and holy, and that we will be able to encourage people and help people with our words rather than be detrimental with our words. We realize that the Bible says in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We realize also that the Scripture teaches us so beautifully, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as of the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We are aware of the fact today that a word is a means of communication. And we realize that the greatest way that we can explain Jesus is that Jesus is the Word. And this Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We're thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ and salvation through Him. And we pray that in these moments of closing this service today, that there will be those who hear the message who have yet not accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, but they'll do it now. Because we realize that the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. We know that there's only one way of salvation, and that's through Jesus Christ, the one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me. At this very moment, we pray that there will be those who will trust you as their Savior. And we thank you again for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please.